The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University.
Hello and welcome to Late Admission Episode 2. I'm Alteo and I'm with
Miguel Molina.
Yeah, and in this podcast we discuss classic movies, right? Must-see movies that we haven't watched personally and that everybody says, hey, you gotta watch that.
That's right. Last week we reviewed Pulp Fiction and this week we had the pleasure of watching Schindler's List.
First of all, spoilers. There will be spoilers in this episode, just like every other episode, because of course we go in depth in the movie and so we have to talk about key plot points. So
that's right,
you'll be spoiled.
That's right. So if you haven't watched the movie Schindler's List, cover your ears.
Yes,
as we mentioned, we watched Schindler's List for this week's movie.
That's positive.
And what a shift in mood when we talk about Pulp Fiction and Schindler's List.
Yeah. Pulp Fiction, although there was a lot of violence, it was still very, I don't want to say lighthearted, but there's a lot of comedic cuts. It was very light, you know?
Yeah, I think it was pretty crazy. You know, like Pulp Fiction, very fun movie. Schindler's List, as we said at the end of last episode, we said Pulp Fiction is like a dark, humored, I would say, movie. This one's dark, but it doesn't have a lot of humor. And that's like a big point. Obviously, if you don't know, Schindler's List talks about the Holocaust, World War II.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen any World War II movies before this?
Growing up in Europe, I think I did a couple because the history classes are very focused on World Wars. So yeah, I do think I watch a lot of movies, documentaries, and stuff like that. So
yeah, so okay, that's good. So you have like the European background, I guess.
Yes, but I had no idea who Schindler was.
Yeah.
That's something that's not really taught in schools, from what I know.
Based on a true story.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen Inglourious Bastards.
Okay.
Tarantino.
Right. That's about the Holocaust?
It's not about the Holocaust, but it's a World War II movie. It's a dark humor movie. This is also like a big shift from that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's take a look at
the cast.
Like, the cast, yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, firstly, it's directed by Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
Who...
Legendary.
Apparently.
Producer and director, of course.
So he did Jaws, which, have you seen?
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Haven't seen. He did Jurassic Park. Have you seen?
A couple. I've seen some of them.
Seen all of them. E.T.?
Yeah, I've watched E.T. What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
All the Indiana Jones. Have you seen any of them?
I haven't watched
any or all
Indiana Jones. No.
No Indiana Jones.
No. The guy did Shrek and Schindler's List.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. That's crazy.
That's some range, you know.
So I guess that was like... That was a 10-year difference. This guy did Shrek and Schindler's List. Damn.
So the cast.
So the cast, pretty much just Liam Neeson. I'm not going to lie. He did not.
I guess. I mean, Ishtak Stern, the character. I don't really know the actor. Ben Kingsley, apparently. Is also very present. Probably the second character with the most
Ishtak
appearances.
Stern, yeah. So, I mean, if we look at some of his movies, he does look like a familiar character.
He looks like Pitbull a little bit.
Yeah, when he's not black and white. He was in Iron Man 3.
Oh.
He was in Shutter Island, which I...
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Shutter Island recently. That's why he looks very familiar. He's a good actor.
Right.
Needless to say. Ralph Fiennes, who acted as a main bad guy. When we go through this list, no other notable names, no other notable actors. But the main character for the movie.
Yeah. Liam Neeson.
Oscar Schindler.
Yes, sir.
That guy's goated.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on his aura?
I mean, it feels like a recurring topic now. We always talk about aura, but his charisma is just through the roof, right? It's just, he has this oozing aura around him. There was this one stair scene where there was a woman that was appealing to see him or something like that. He was just staring in the shadows. He does something to me, you know.
Something to you.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Gosh.
Yeah.
What does he do?
Moving on. What did you think of or Liam Neeson as Oscar?
What
Schindler,
did I think of Liam Neeson? Liam Neeson is absolutely goated.
Let's talk about acting more than aura, because
when we think about Liam Neeson's acting, like, oh my gosh, this guy's amazing. What can you say? I think he acted that position, like, perfectly. Okay, another movie that is probably around the same time as old is called Les Miserables, which is like solid. Anyways, so I watched Les Miserables like a few weekends ago, and Liam Neeson's also the main actor in that one, and he's absolutely phenomenal. And this one is like the pretty much, well, not, I wouldn't say the same role, but like he's the protagonist.
Right, okay.
The goated, absolutely goated.
Yeah, yeah.
The Dark Knight. Have you seen The Dark Knight?
I haven't watched The Dark Knight. I know it's one of your favorite movies.
You haven't seen Batman Begins? How did you know that?
How did I know what?
That I liked Batman Begins and Dark Knight.
Because you showed it to me the other day. Well, like, it was 4 months ago, probably.
Oh, okay. Acting was honestly pretty good.
Yeah.
I found it awkward how some characters would put on a German... Some actors would try to put on a German accent.
Really?
I thought it was kind of like, okay, it just doesn't fit you. You know, like, you're doing it wrong.
They looked very German, though. So, I think they got a pass from me on that point.
They didn't sound very German.
Really?
In my opinion, I don't know.
I don't know if you've talked to a lot of German people in your life to say that, but okay, right. I guess.
To move beyond the acting and like focus on the main story and plots of the movie, how do you compare watching a movie for fun versus watching a movie that has more serious vibes?
Okay. I guess if you take it from the lens of like a movie analysis, the plot, for example, you wouldn't judge it the same way. For example, Pulp Fiction is purely fiction, so you can fully judge the plot as something that is fully made up.
Right.
But when talking about Schindler's List, those are things that happen. So you can't really judge the plot, but more so how they put a real story into life.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess in that sense, it's very different. But when watching it, I feel like you kind of put your critical brain to the side, and you're like, okay, I'm watching something that actually happened. It's serious.
Yeah.
Like, you're not treating it the same way that if I'm watching Endgame, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Like, you're not as critical. That's actually a really good point.
I don't think it's like one-to-one. I don't think it's like a one-to-one reproduction of what actually happened. Like, for example, the way Schindler ran his business and all that. That was probably not glorified, but like a little bit.
Yeah, I think it tells an interesting lens. Like, from an interesting lens, the point of view of like Oscar Schindler. Mm-hmm. How he attempted to save some Jews from the Holocaust.
That he did.
What a goat. We haven't done too much research on like the real Oscar Schindler.
True.
So we're judging it purely based off the movie.
Yeah.
And so far, I think he's a good guy.
So like, I wanted to ask you a question though.
Sure.
How do you feel the melancholic themes affect you in the movie?
The way that I watched the movie, yeah. Well, probably, it was definitely kind of weird. At first, I was, like, watching, I was, like, thinking, while we were, like, probably an hour through, or maybe 2 hours through, I was like, yo, this might not actually fit for our podcast. Like, our theme is very lighthearted, very chill, very fun, but this movie doesn't really fit that category, which is a bit of I don't think this movie creates that big of a barrier for us, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
I agree.
So that in that sense, it changed the way that I watched the movie because I was kind of like looking for like, you know, maybe the fun parts of the movie that were really cool. But obviously, you can't do that. Yeah, I mean, that's how I was viewing the movie. But I mean, how do you think like you would prepare for a pretty sad movie like this?
I mean, it is a really deep movie. I don't really know if there's a right way to prepare for it. You just kind of have to be ready to watch disturbing stuff. I mean, in Pulp Fiction there was also some disturbing stuff, but it's also like, I feel like it's a much more minor part of the movie compared to Schindler's List, where
fully surrounded.
Yeah, it's like the whole point and the whole meat of the movie is essentially a massacre. So
yeah, I feel like that actually touches on an interesting point. I remember when we read that review from where he was saying that like glorifying treating that violence as entertainment.
Yeah,
that's interesting, because then when you compare it to a serious movie like this, it's like, in some ways you can see his point of view, you know.
But I don't think Schindler's List would fit in that category though, because it retraces actual events that happened. I feel like it serves to remember people that passed away during the Holocaust, rather than just purely making a fictional movie about violence and making fun of it or whatever.
Sure, I guess. I mean, I guess my point more is like, if someone is sensitive to that kind of stuff because of these experiences like the Holocaust, I can understand from his point of view why it might be offensive to him. to move on to the actual movie.
Yeah.
You know, like Oscar Schindler, the main character, we follow his story.
Yeah.
Do you want to break down the spectrum of his character, how he shifted throughout the entire movie?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually found that very interesting. One of the better themes of the movie and one of the better themes of Oscar Schindler is at the start, he kind of, he entertains the Nazis a little bit. You know, he's like, he kind of plays their game, fits into that category of like being a Nazi, someone from the Nazi party, which he says at the end.
Yeah.
Because he very much is, even though he doesn't act like one. And then at the end, or like as the movie progresses, I remember a scene where there's a Nazi commander or whatever that's talking to him. And instead of entertaining him, that was like at the middle of the movie, maybe a little bit further, and he just cuts him off and leaves.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's such an interesting character. Because in the beginning, like you said, he's entertaining them.
Mm-hmm.
Not to do malicious, anything malicious. It's purely for business. Like, all he wants to do, his goal is to make as much money as possible,
mm-hmm.
as he says in the movie. And then, I guess the whole story is how, like, that ideal shifted into trying to save as many people as possible.
Yeah.
In the end, when, you know, he breaks down in front of the car, in front of all the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar Schindler is, like, such an amazing character. In my mind, he's someone whose values, like, I truly respect, where he's, like, aspiring to do very well with his business, but also trying to affect and change and do good in the world by affecting the lives of other people, right? And yeah. I feel like that's very cool. Oscar Schindler is a very cool character.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Liam Neeson played him amazingly, as we said before.
Yeah. I don't really know if that shift from strictly being a businessman to just wanting to save lives was real or not back then. Mm. I'm thinking maybe that was kind of made up. I don't know what you think. But like,
what do you mean?
In my mind, Schindler was always like trying to save lives, is what I'm thinking.
Oh, I see.
I don't think there was ever a shift. I mean, I don't know. I'm just speculating, but
I feel I don't think so. I think really? That he always did it purely for business motives. But then because he was partners with Ishak Stern, he was able to help him realize like the good that he can do.
Okay. But at the same time, there was that one scene, you know, when that woman comes up to him and she's like, please save my parents and all that. And he kind of changes his opinion by himself, you know? Like, he goes up to Stern, he's like, what are we, like, a charity or something like that? Yeah. And then he just kind of, he calls to save both of her parents by himself.
But I feel like because of the events that led up, it led to, like, a softening of his heart, you know?
Okay. Yeah, but I also do think there's some fiction to that, if you know what I mean. Like, I feel like the shift felt very cinematic to me.
And then we talk about Amon Goeth, the main bad guy.
Yeah.
How would you describe his character?
Confusing a little bit. He's very conflicted. You mentioned him as bipolar at some point in the movie. That is how he feels.
Yeah.
That's how he feels watching him because he says something and then we'll do the opposite. For me, what characterizes him and helps us understand the kind of person he is his relationship with Ellen.
Yeah.
When he's like, oh, I care about her. And then there's that scene in the wine cellar where he's, like, beating her and stuff like that. So, definitely a conflicted man. And, at the end, we revealed that he was in a asylum, I think, or something like that. Some psychological institution. And you can understand why.
Yeah, he's a weird character. Well, towards the end, in my mind, it was kind of, like, showing how Schindler says at one point in the movie, he's like, oh, Goeth doesn't actually like killing the Jews.
Mm. But I feel like that was him, like, kind of lying to himself, no?
Well, I don't know if he was lying to himself, but maybe he actually believed it, but he was wrong. Like, I think he was wrong.
Yeah, and that scene where he's like, I don't think he believes killing people, and then Ishak Stern is like, yeah, so I know this guy. Goeth took a pistol, united 26 people around him, killed every single one of them, but that guy. You remember that scene?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he definitely, I don't know if he enjoys it, but he thinks that's power, right? And power was a big theme.
Big theme, yeah. Power is a huge theme.
That was a great conversation they had.
Yeah, it was interesting how Oscar Schindler was trying to convince him into thinking that in order to be powerful, mm-hmm. he had to, like, be kind or be nice to these people.
And it almost worked.
It almost worked. It worked for, like, 7 minutes. And then he ended up shooting people off the balcony.
Yeah.
That guy's, yeah, that was an interesting scene.
But yeah, I want to talk about the power scene a little bit more. I thought it was really interesting. What do you think?
Yeah, I thought it was super interesting. Do you think that power is actually like what Oscar Schindler was saying? Oh, you haven't seen this, but there's a movie called, spoilers, by the way, there's a movie called A Bronx Tale.
Yeah.
And in the movie, and you might have seen this on Reels, it's a clip, it's a voice line where the main mafia boss says to the little boys, like, would you rather be loved or feared?
Okay.
And then he says, like, I'd rather be feared. And then, you know.
Mm, all right.
And then cut to the Ronaldo edit.
Okay. That's what Macron said a couple of days ago, actually, really? on TV. So basically, for people that don't know, Schindler's like, he says something along the lines of, power is not killing someone that is powerless. It's having every reason to kill someone, but not to do it.
Yeah.
That's what he says, which was probably the hardest line in the movie for me.
Yeah, so hard.
It was crazy. But yeah, I kind of agree with that, actually. You're clearly the bigger person because you have every single reason to do it, but you don't do it because you're like, why? Why would I do it?
And obviously, Goethe tries, but he just can't.
Yeah,
he gets pissed off because his nails are unfiled.
Yeah, that scene was intriguing. You know the scene where he's looking at the mirror?
Yeah, he's looking at the mirror.
He puts his two fingers up, and then he, I don't know what, he switches.
Yeah, he just saw like how unfiled his nails were, and he has a Jewish nail filer.
So then he kills that boy, and then he goes to cut his nails or whatever.
Yeah, crazy, absolutely insane. That actually touches on a very main point of the movie, where Oscar Schindler is talking about how having control of yourself is more important than like being able to control everyone else around you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like ultimately that's what really matters. It's like,
yeah,
stop trying to control everyone else when you like got to focus on yourself, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what it seemed like to me. But yeah, man, like power.
Yeah.
Power. Oh, we didn't mention this, but the movie entirely is black and white.
Well, not entirely.
Oh, yeah. In the beginning,
there's
like some candlelight.
Mm-hmm. And also, there was a little girl wearing red.
That's right.
That appears in two separate scenes, I think, in the movie.
Yeah.
In the first scene, she's seen walking around the streets of, I'm not sure what city
it
is.
Well, it was just the ghetto.
Yeah, the ghetto of Pazlau or something like that, I think. She's walking, and there's this scene where Oscar Schindler is on that hill on his horse with his wife, Emily, I think. And, he sees her in the middle of the massacre, essentially. And, I don't know. That's the first scene. And maybe you want to tell us about the second.
Yeah, it was very interesting. It's like, why is this one person colored? Why do you think Spielberg put this lady in red?
So that little girl, to me, she kind of acts as a transition for Oscar Schindler.
Yeah, I feel like it's a very big part. It also gives us like the sight of like, wow, like when she's walking in the ghetto, when she's still alive, she's walking in the ghetto and you're like...
I've rarely seen someone dead and walking, you know. Anyways, you can keep going.
You get the sense of like, wow, like it's just a random kid and then she just dies. So maybe that's like the point. No. Well, that is what happens. But like,
that's like 40 minutes later.
I feel like that's the point. I feel like that's the point of the movie. I think that's the point of the character of just like, it shows how like stupid maybe the war is. It's just like random people die for no reason.
I agree. Yeah.
Well, not random people, but like innocent people die for no reason. But yeah, Girl in the Red Coat. What a film. What a movie. Let's talk about some of the stylistic choices. Like the score, the music.
Music-wise, I definitely recognized some music I heard in the past. You know, there's that one ending scene where all the Jewish people are walking through the gate. I think it's Auschwitz or something. And there's a music playing in the background. And I think that sound, I've heard it multiple times. It's very famous.
That's crazy. So the score was super good. I feel like, towards the end, like the last scene, which we haven't talked about yet, like... Not only did that scene make me cry, but like that scene, the music was absolutely crazy.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. It definitely added to the story.
I definitely added that to my playlist. That's what it is. But as we wrap up this episode, let's talk a little bit more about the legacy of the movie. So when we talk about the legacy of movies, would you consider this a legendary movie?
I think so. I think I would consider it a legendary movie just because of its historical importance. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's very, I don't know, it's a very key movie when talking. It's probably the biggest movie that retraces something that actually happened in history.
Mm, yeah.
I can't really think of any that would be any bigger.
Yeah,
than
I agree
that.
Actually. So what would you rate it then?
I would rate it a 4.3.
Wow.
I do think some of the violence may be stretched out a little bit too much at some parts where it's like, I get it, they're killing people. I don't really want to see that for that long. But at the same time, that is exactly what happened. So you kind of have to face it and understand that. What about your rating?
I would rate it a 4.9.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I would rate it pretty high.
Damn, all right.
I think it was very good, very well made. I think it's a very important movie.
Yeah.
It tells a lot about, through the character of Oscar Schindler, just like, I don't know. I think there's a lot to learn from him, just like watching him. I like movies like that. This is my kind of movie where it takes a character and like you could really see the values of this guy and really learn something from it.
Fair enough. This is
my kind of movie. I can't lie. Yeah. What a great movie.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks, if you want to tune in to listen to us talk about another great movie, we're going to be watching
Casino Royale. Another classic, supposedly.
007 movie.
Yeah.
Which I've never even watched, heard of.
The very first action movie we're going to watch.
Well, Pulp Fiction had some action.
Yeah, but it's not really.
Yeah, it's true. I guess it is the first action movie. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Much more fun.
Yeah.
Tune in for next week where we'll talk about Casino Royale and all that it has to offer for us.
Yes, sir.
I do love gambling, and so does Aunt Doom.
What?
So do you.
No.
That's why you're listening to this podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.
See ya.